Welcome to the Real Life English Podcast, where we help dedicated English learners just like you cultivate the courage, the confidence, and the skills that you need to understand real life native English, to communicate clearly with people from all around the world, and to make your life an epic global adventure. Now, are you ready to go beyond the classroom and start living your English? Can I get an aw yeah?
Before a couple weeks ago, most of us knew relatively little about the Eastern European country, Ukraine. But today, it's on everyone's mind. Here at Real Life English, we are fortunate to have a Ukrainian team member, Ksenia, and today we've invited her on to share with you her first-hand experience. In this episode, we aim to look at the war from a global citizenship perspective, and how this affects us as humans, no matter what side we fall on. We will do our best to avoid politics, although for a person who is in the middle of the war, it may be a challenge. So without further ado, let's jump into this special episode of the Real Life English Podcast. Yeah, boys and girls, citizens of the world, this is Ethan from Real Life English, where we believe that listening to podcasts is a fun, natural, convenient, and...
comforting
way to learn English. So download this podcast and listen to it while you're stuck in traffic, riding your bike, or even...
surfing on the beach.
So I'm joined here in the Global Studio, first of all, by the lovely Ksenia, as I already mentioned, joining us from Ukraine. How's it going, Ksenia?
Hey, Ethan. We're still standing.
And by someone maybe you haven't heard from for a while, the man whose roundhouse kick is so powerful, it can be seen from outer space by the naked eye, Justin Murray.
Oh, yeah. What's going on? Roundhouse kick? What is that?
You better tell me. Yours is so powerful.
It's a Chuck Norris kick. It's when you jump up and you sort of... You go around like a clock in the air, right? With your kick. Mm-hmm. It's a roundhouse kick.
And it's so powerful that even aliens can see it. So if you're a newer listener, then maybe you haven't heard from Justin before. Maybe you've only heard of him on one episode. If you didn't know, he is the CEO of Real Life English, and he used to be on the podcast all the time. I think up until around episode 200, he was on pretty much every single episode. And also in the show notes, we'll link to recently... a few months ago, I interviewed Justin on the Beyond Borders talk show. So if you want to learn more about him and how he came to found Real Life English, then you should definitely check that out. But sorry, Justin, today's podcast isn't all about you, although you are going to offer some insight. I thought that we could give Ksenia the stage for a moment. So first of all, Ksenia, where are you joining us from exactly? And what do you do here at Real Life English?
Hey, I think it's not the first time of me being on this podcast, and many students know me. If you write regularly emails to Real Life English, I'm working as a customer success agent. I'm answering your letters, emails, messages, and I'm trying to help you learn more about our courses and our app. And I am from Ukraine. Right now, I'm in the very center of Ukraine city called Cherkasy. It's 3 hours from Kiev. Thank you so much, Ethan and Justin, for having me today and letting me share my experience today with you all.
One other thing that you didn't mention is that you are a community leader in the Fluency Circle, right? So this is a pretty powerful role that you play too.
Yeah, sure.
And what is the Fluency Circle, Ksenia?
Fluency Circle is our global chat of English learners from around the world. I'm so happy to be a part of it. Actually, I came from Fluency Circle myself. It's where Justin found me. Actually, I knocked on the Real Life English door when they were having the open position for customer success agent. And this is a unique group of people, passionate people, English learners who are not only learning English, but they are growing with us, supporting each other, and encouraging even during these difficult times. Like the other day, I saw messages from two Ukrainian girls writing the Fluency Circle, and I was so proud how supportive and how apolitical our community tried to stay, just giving support to the girls, but, you know, in a respectful way, because there are so many students from Russia and from Ukraine in this circle.
Yeah, let me just ask you, Ksenia, like, why do we try to stay apolitical in general?
Because, you know, it's like really try to share this message to the world about the world beyond borders. It's like it's really important for us, for all the members of Real Life English team, and we try to share it with our students. Actually, there are lots of them who already joined with these same ideas that, you know, no matter what divides us, that's what unites us is far greater.
And that's even beyond all the political polarization that we're seeing today, right? There's so much of that.
Mm. Yeah. So it's definitely a pleasure having you on, Ksenia, because a lot of people might be following in the news what's happening, but there really is nothing like talking to someone who's actually there, who's experiencing it, who you know, has their life there, their family and friends there, who grew up in that place, who knows the culture, and can really offer that firsthand perspective. So I think it's really interesting talking to people on both sides in Ukraine, talking to people from Russia, and trying to go beyond just what you're hearing in the media to understand a little bit what it's like. What do people actually think? Not being filtered just through maybe a bubble that could be a bit biased. So we're going to be talking a lot about this, but before we do, we have a shout out to a very special listener and app user who is also from the Ukraine, who is also from Ukraine. I don't know, I have a bad habit of saying the before.
What's the confusion between Ukraine and the Ukraine? Can you explain that a little bit?
Yeah, sure. Like, people in Ukraine try to educate Western world that it's correct to say Ukraine because we are a sovereign country. There was a tradition in Western mass media to write the Ukraine because it was like the part of the Soviet Russia, right? Soviet Empire. That's why the article was used, like, because it was a part of the whole. But now, as Ukraine became an individual, like, sovereign country, it lost the article. It is Ukraine.
That's an interesting little English lesson. So, Ksenia, do you want to share today's shout out since it's for a compatriot of yours?
Yeah, so we have the shout out from Victoria, who is our app user, and she writes, "Oh my God, I'm so grateful for your app, guys. It's definitely a fantastic application for people who want to improve their communication, boost confidence and motivation to learn, communicate, and reinvigorate their energy to finally become fluent speakers. I really appreciate your work and hope that most of the people here enjoy using this app, which allows to enhance consistency, grit, perseverance, and passion towards learning a language. Definitely a cool, fresh content. Thanks."
Fantastic. So I highly recommend, if dear listener, if you have not yet, check out our app, because not only can you find this episode of the podcast with a full transcript, but you can connect with people and practice your English with people from all around the world, learn about different cultures, and maybe with some luck, you can even connect with someone from Russia or Ukraine. As we discussed beforehand, it can be really useful to not just trust what you're hearing on the media and stuff, but to actually have conversations with people and see what their experience like, see what their points of view are. And I always recommend doing that without judgment, trying to just listen and be curious and stuff without letting your maybe background or your beliefs kind of cloud your judgment there or create, you know, sort of an aggressive feeling in that conversation, but it can be super interesting.
One thing that's interesting for me is, like, when you meet people from around the world, it's like then these events that happen around the world, it kind of gives a human face to it. And for example, the fact that I know Ksenia, it really makes this, like, I feel it, I'm connected to it. And if I didn't know Ksenia, I think it would be much more impersonal.
Yeah, and also I wanted to add that it's so sad that people get a chance to learn about my country through these sad news. And I remember when I was going to Brazil, our listeners know that our whole team met in Brazil in February. So I remember when on the plane and at the airport, when I was chatting with some people in the line or a neighboring neighbor on the seat on the plane, when they asked where I'm from and when they heard Ukraine, you know, the tensions already started then in February. So they like were nodding and Ukraine, oh, Ukraine. And they started asking everything and, you know, and it's now good that the whole world knows where Ukraine is. But yeah, it's so sad that it was because of these said events.
Too true. So before we get into today's main topic, we have a very relevant quote.
Okay, so this quote actually came from Ethan. It's not from Ethan, actually, but he tweeted, he forwarded me a tweet yesterday morning that was like, thought this is very interesting. We've been exchanging tweets around different information on Ukraine and talking about Ksenia as well, and just how we can help her. But this is what he sent me yesterday. So it's from Dan Carlin, who has one of the best history podcasts out there, probably the best. And it's called Hardcore History. So I definitely recommend that, searching for that podcast. But it's, for all its evil, war sometimes has a tiny silver lining. It can clarify the mind and reboot our ethical compass. It puts less serious things in perspective. It nudges us towards our neighbor and reminds us that our needs and interests are intertwined. It reignites our compassion. So, man, this quote has so much to unpack, so many words. So it says it has a tiny silver lining. What does silver lining mean, Mr. V?
Comes from an expression, I believe, that's every cloud has its silver lining. And we use that to say that every negative situation tends to have some seed or some tiny part that is beneficial. Usually when something bad happens to you, there's a lesson to be learned from it. Maybe you made a mistake you cannot make again in the future, or you know, maybe a certain opportunity might come out of it. And so a lot of times when something bad happens, or you know, if you're going through a hard time, people might say that expression, like every cloud has its silver lining, or try to look for the silver lining, or some piece of advice like that.
And literally, if you look at a cloud, right, and the sun is behind it, you can see on the outside of it, it's shining, right? And that's what literally a silver lining is, right? So behind the cloud is the sun. There's light. So it says that war can clarify the mind and reboot our ethical compass. Ksenia, what does reboot mean?
Reboot means like to help to start working again.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like to restart.
Yep. And then it says it nudges us toward our neighbor, towards our neighbor. Mr. V, what does nudge mean?
Nudge is like a tiny push, right? Like a gentle push.
Mm-hmm. So it nudges us towards our neighbors and reminds us that our needs and interests are intertwined. Ksenia, intertwined. What does that mean?
Interconnected.
Yep.
I wanted also to add about reignites our compassion, about compassion. Like, Ukrainian community is so united now, and I'm so happy to see that so many people who are popular on Instagram or in social media, like bloggers or therapists, like psychologists, they give so many tips. And so just recently I've listened to one of the popular Ukrainian family psychologists. He has his own TV show. So he said that right now there are so many strong emotions like hatred, aggression towards the occupants, right? And he suggests all Ukrainians to focus, to like direct that strong emotion towards like compassion to people who suffered from those events, to support of our Ukrainian army. So to transform this very strong emotion, which is hatred, anger, to something positive, like to help people who need help right now, to support people who need this support. I thought it's very valuable now.
Well, that's a really beautiful sentiment. Maybe you could share that post from Instagram even in the show notes.
And I would say, like, on top of what Ksenia is saying, and I'm sure you feel this, Ksenia, and like I feel it, like looking around the world, the whole world is coming together in a huge way. And I don't think I've ever seen anything like it. Just this, just everybody's just kind of erupting in this compassion and the shared feeling, this common humanity towards Ukraine and just really trying to support Ukraine and what's happening.
Right. And you also see that you are never alone in this globalized world anymore, right? Even if we go away a little bit from this conflict, from war topic, and if we remember about other issues humanity has, like climate change, it's so easy right now to feel that you are not alone. You have so much support if you just try and reach out to people who are like-minded people.
That's a very good point. So I think that's a perfect segue into today's main topic, where we'll try to unpack a little bit. Justin used that expression before. Try to unpack a little bit what's happening and look at some of like the values and the perspectives that one can have about this as a global citizen. What kind of dawns on me when things like this happen, you know, conflict in the world. I think we talked about this even a few years ago. There was like a terrorist attack here in Barcelona. We tried to unpack that all as well from like a global citizenship perspective. But when these kind of things happen, a lot of people, their default is to think, you know, the world's going to hell. Everything is just terrible. Everyone hates each other and stuff. But, and just like in the quote we just saw, you can look at it from another perspective. You can see even like a tiny silver lining to it. And that's a good place for us to kind of just talk about our, as a company, our vision is to create a world beyond borders. A lot of people hear that, they think without borders. That's not what it means. It's not, you know, a lot of people think that what the Russian government wants right now is to get rid of that border between Ukraine and Russia. So it's just one place, right? But it doesn't mean that. Justin, do you want to expand a little bit on what the idea there is?
Well, I mean, throughout history, right? You can look at it from the historical point of view, and there's a really good book called Sapiens that we've been kind of talking a lot about the author's views, Yuval Noah Harari. And this book is really good. It talks about kind of the evolution of humanity through history. And so pretty much the previous stage in the 20th century, you see this kind of this nation state, right? So you have these wars happening around like very like polarized beliefs, political systems, right? And so it's this fight between nations. But as we go into the future, we haven't really had any of these huge wars in a long time. We've lived in a relatively peaceful era. And in some sense, this is sort of we're coming to a decision point. Like, do we want to move into the future where we're more and more globalized beyond borders? And in this sense, beyond borders, I recognize more as not without borders, because like you said, it's not like all the countries are just going to merge into each other, but beyond borders represents like each country, those borders exist, your cultural borders exist, but you're going beyond that. We're going beyond that for team humanity, right? To have this perspective of no matter what divides us, what unites us is far greater. And then, but that's beyond our own cultural roots, but then also giving each group the right for its own self-determination, right? In this sense, it's like Ukraine. I mean, obviously they have one will, and then, you know, Russia has another will. But step back and look at it from the perspective as well of English. Like, we see English as this doorway to that world beyond borders, because English gives you access to this completely new level of information, of culture, of relationships, of media, and they all sort of come together, right? So it's like maybe in a big way, when you learn English, you have the responsibility to not just look at the world from your perspective in that country, from that language. You have the responsibility to seek different perspectives, expand your mind, understand the world from many perspectives, meet people from around the world, develop your global tribe. Your global tribe that you can, so you can see the world from a multidimensional perspective. And then, of course, you have the roots of where you come from, right? So it's like Ksenia is from Ukraine. You know, we're born in the United States. We live in different places and we develop different roots, of course. But ultimately, it's our responsibility to sort of elevate and look at that world from the highest possible consciousness we can view the world.
And it's been interesting seeing what's happened, because there have been, no one expected things to go the way they went, right? That the Ukraine would be able to put on such a strong fight against a much larger, you know, military power than it. And I think that just seeing that resolve that people in Ukraine, that Ukrainians have had, has really inspired people from around the world, you know? And it's, again, it's not really trying to make it a political thing, but the fact that we can all come together and kind of like, you know, just support that people, because we have that empathy that, you know, no one wants their neighbor to, you know, come into their house or to be attacking their city or anything like this overnight. And so it's just kind of created this great empathy of people maybe having this worldview that we don't want to see things like this anymore. We don't want to see neighbors breaking out into military fights. And I think that's kind of caused it. It's been really interesting from the outside just to see what the reaction, that it's been such a fast reaction to really support Ukraine and to stop this war.
Yeah, I just read yesterday that, in fact, this is what our diplomats shared, that when they were asking for help in the first 2 days, actually there was a slight reluctance because nobody believed that we could stay at least these 2 days, right? And now, of course, there is huge support from the Western world. But about this reaction, not only from the Western world, but even from Ukrainians, from us. Like, guys, you remember when I was in Brazil and you were worried and asking me, like, how it's going to happen? Are you not, like, afraid to come back and everything? And you remember maybe I told you and tried to reassure you that, yeah, if things are going to go the wrong way, everything will be still there in the East. Because actually, it's now world only learned about the war now, but it's been going on for 8 years. But it was like a hybrid war. It's been like a wound, which is like, you know, you stop feeling the pain for some time, but it, then it, again, this you get this inflammation and things go bad. But yeah, Ukrainians didn't, like, we refused to believe to the last minute that it's in the civilized world, it's like it's possible to start a full-scale war. Like, nobody accepted it. And there is, like, also from something from psychology, when there is something, some information you don't like, don't want to accept, there are a couple of stages, right, of perceiving it. First, it's like resistance. Then it's like anger or frustration. Then it's acceptance. And in our case, in Ukrainians, it's acceptance, not with giving up, but with more courage and bravery to fight and to, you know, fight back.
Yeah, that's really interesting. It's like, I guess, accepting that you're going to have to fight for what you believe in, right?
True. And it's also like, it's so good to see how people are united now. And I know a lot of people who unfortunately had to leave the country because they were like from those regions which are really under attack and the whole city is bombed. Like, for example, it's really difficult right now in Kyiv and Kharkiv and Kherson, and people flee those territories. But as I told you, I'm in the central Ukraine, so we even take refugees now to our city because it's relatively safe here now. And maybe if I was from Kyiv, I would be telling you another story right now, right? It's just like I have another experience. Unfortunately, so many people have to leave the country and still they are like trying to help each other, to support each other. And of course, Poland as a neighboring country has showed so much support. And there are so many like centers right now who are helping refugees there.
Yeah, I heard over 1 million refugees now is what the UN, if I'm not mistaken, which is really incredible. But it's incredible to see, too, that the borders have stayed open, that, like, Poland, for example, is allowing people to come through and helping. And it's, again, like that strong empathy, because I suppose, too, the neighboring countries could have said, you know, it's your problem, we don't want to take on your refugees, and they could have closed their borders. But it's nice to see that that hasn't been the case, that they have been empathetic.
Yeah, and we also have this support of support from people from Russia, who, despite all the danger, still going out on the streets and try to say no to war. It's just like coming back to what Justin said. It's so sad that actually just a small percentage of people have this access to outside world. I mean, in terms of news, in terms of different opinions and other analytics, something different from what they hear from their TVs. Right, from their local authorities. And right now, it's like, I think it also was said by Yuval Noah Harari that, yes, weapons kill people, but the main weapon right now is information, right? And there's so much fake news right now. And right now, we are fighting not only against military force, but also about against all this propaganda, which is also like very, very difficult. And we try to, you know, sometimes you get frustrated because sometimes it feels like you're trying to talk to a deaf and to show something to a blind. And you realize how rewired their brains now by the local TV in Russia right now, and especially people who don't have this access to Western news, to some other opinions. It's really, really difficult to break that wall. So yeah, it's just like coming back to Real Life English and us helping people, you know, live their English. It's such a, high time to turn to some news which are outside. Use your English to learn something different from what you've heard.
I read an interesting tweet the other day I shared with Ethan, and I don't know how true this is. I'd love to hear Russians' perspectives, but basically it talks about how Russia, the president of Russia, wasn't really ready for the propaganda war that he would have to fight. And so basically going into this, he didn't realize like how much he needed to actually prepare Russia for this, and they weren't prepared. People had different beliefs. People are very westernized. People weren't ready to do what he's done. And so now it's like in Russia, like YouTubers, influencers, they're not buying it. So it's like they're coming out against the war, and he can't control it. He can't make them disappear, right? You're going to disappear like, YouTubers who have like huge followings. I don't know. This is one perspective. I know. But it's just interesting to look at it from that perspective, that people are more westernized, people are more globalized in their perspectives. They're getting more information from different sources. So it makes it harder to really close that off.
Just a quick interruption to ask you a question. Do you ever feel frustrated when you are listening to a podcast, watching a TV series, or you are in a conversation in English and you do not understand what is said? Wouldn't it be great if there was some way to understand real English without getting lost and without getting bored? Well, now there is. With our Real Life Native Immersion course, we will take you on a 41-week real-life adventure of the English language, each week exploring a different topic connected to our goal to help you understand and use your English in the real world. Just imagine understanding your favorite TV series without subtitles, or confidently speaking with someone and comprehending everything they say. You can do it, and we're here to help. And the best part is, you can try it for free with our 3-part Power Learning series. Just go to reallifeglobal.com/pod to sign up. That's P-O-D. Or simply click the link in the description of this episode. On the other hand, it is interesting. Like I saw the other day, also a tweet from the Russian embassy in Spain. And it was in Spanish, but it was a Russian representative. Basically, and it was a propaganda video, but it shared kind of like, probably a very similar message to what Russians are hearing there in Russia. And it's interesting to hear it. It's interesting to know, to hear like, okay, what's the justification that people are giving themselves? What is it that they believe that they think, that they should be going to war and stuff? Because a lot of times it's very easy to blame someone, but I think too, understanding that, okay, it's probably really difficult to suddenly say, oh, I'm not going to trust my government that I've been listening to my entire life. It's almost like a part of your ego. If you've been hearing this, a certain story or a certain script your entire life, and then all of a sudden someone from the outside is telling you, that's not true, you're probably going to really have to go through your own process of reflection. You're not going to believe it at first, but I think that's why it can be really important too, to just, English is really valuable in the sense that you can be opened up to more, better, non-biased information. You can hear different stories and stuff, and you can decide and kind of like come to a decision on what you want to believe, what's your truth. But if you're completely closed off to that, if you're not willing to listen to the other side, if you're not willing to understand their perspective, whether or not it's ultimately based in truth, then, it's kind of like you're really cutting yourself off of the legs, which means that you're preventing yourself from growing as a human being.
Let me throw in there just kind of an example, because this is like what I think Russia would say. I think it's what Putin has said, right? And not to make this like a political conversation, but basically he believes, right, that Ukraine, having Ukraine to the West by under Western influence and NATO, right, in the EU, this is like having a gun to Russia's head. How would you guys respond to that?
That's what people in Russia are fed with. Like, this is what they are being told, that do you want the enemy right in front of you, like a neighbor, an enemy? It's just like the problem here is they are trying to build the world on this competition and this, this is we, and we are here, and the whole rest of the Western world wants to make us weaker and want to, you know, this is what I hear, just like they usually tend not to believe to the Western world, because they believe that Russia is so strong that the Western world wants to make it weaker, like, you know. This is what you hear from common people in Russia, that we don't want NATO here because they threat us, something like that. But it's only one of these stories, you know. There are many stories like that. This is only one of them.
Yeah, I mean, one of the arguments that I heard that from the propaganda as well is they're saying kind of like that Ukrainians are neo-Nazis or something along these lines, which is like, you know, like, okay.
This is funny at all. I think you guys already read everywhere that our president, and he never, you know, refused from this, that he's a Jew. So how can he be neo-Nazi?
I didn't even know that. But I mean, the funny thing there too is like, I mean, that's, I think, why it's so important to talk to people, right? Because if you're hearing these things, then it's probably easy enough for you to talk to someone. If you're in Russia and you're hearing, or you're a Russian living somewhere else and you're hearing, like, okay, that Ukrainians are neo-Nazis, like, okay, why don't you see if you can actually, like, meet some Ukrainians and be curious and ask them about that and, like, their beliefs and stuff and see, like, is this actually true? Is this person, do they hate Jewish people? Do they, you know, are they fascists or something like this? Maybe there are some. I mean, like, you know, you have bad people everywhere, of course, but probably if you connect with people, it's not so likely that the majority of them are going to hold those beliefs.
Of course, the population in Ukraine is also diverse, but it's like the same as around the world. Like, I don't know if I read it somewhere or heard it somewhere, but let's take our government as well. Like, all those ultra right forces, they are not represented in our government. Of course, there are people like that, like everywhere else. Take France, for example, which is a very strong right force, which is ultra right. But they are not represented in our government. And all those tales they show to Russian people is just like ridiculous if you generalize all Ukrainian population, right? Like that. And it's the same. It's so sad now. I understand, and I sometimes find myself thinking the same way, but then I, you know, remember about all this beyond borders, ideas and everything, and beyond the light side. But it's so sad to see how Ukrainian people right now also treat Russian people as aggressive occupants, because I strongly believe there are people who are against this war, and who, especially those who have relatives here. Yes, it's another story. I think I told Ethan today that, families break apart, especially when you call your relatives who live in Russia and they don't believe you. It's just like, you know, breaks your heart and breaks the family, because you just like can't find words to persuade them. But the other also happens. People also, they're like, who just like Justin said, they are more pro-Western and see this whole other set of values and are not afraid to speak up. There are people like that there as well. And like you, Ethan, just told about this, if Russian people come here and it's interesting to ask, do they see any, you know, neo-Nazis here? It's actually what's happening with those young boys who were sent here to fight the Ukrainian neo-Nazis and who are now got prison hostages.
Yeah, they're taken hostage.
Yeah, thank you. So and when they are asked by our Ukrainian army, so did you see neo-Nazis here, and they say no. There was an interesting video with a boy who said that he feels that Ukrainian army even treated him better than his Russian general.
Wow.
Because they fed him, they treated him because he got wounded, and like nobody beat them here. So yeah, there were videos like that as well. by the way, talking about the Russians again, they don't believe most of people. Those videos say that this is fake news. But yeah, what can we do? I believe in, you know, I believe that sooner or later they will wake up. And yeah, it's better sooner than later.
Yeah. We were just talking about too here in my neighborhood, there's actually a lot of Russians live here. There's like some, there's like apartments and stuff. And I'm sure it's kind of like you invite your friends and whatnot. And so it's kind of become a neighborhood where a lot of them have moved in. But anyways, so I hear Russian on the street sometimes, and kind of something that we were talking about the other day is just like, you know, these people are probably going to like suffer from being stereotyped, from being judged, like here is, and who knows what they believe, who knows if they support the war, if they think it's justified, or who knows if they are anti-war. But regardless, I mean, that's kind of like a really sad kind of like side effect of any sort of war, is that, you know, for a long time, I'm sure Russians are going to suffer from being blamed for what their government did, whether or not they were in support of that.
Yeah.
I think there's a reason for us to be compassionate as well, because their economy is going to go to the shit. It's really going to, they're going to have lots of problems. I mean, this is a counterattack against them as well. So it's like, and I know there's a reason for this, but at the same time, it's like we should have compassion for what's happening there too. Because they're people, and a lot of those people are really against what's happening as well. Some people aren't against it, but still, it's like they're people too, right?
Yeah, and a lot of common people, common Russians, will have to pay for what their government are doing now.
Mm-hmm.
And they are also not so happy about it. I actually, also those of Russians I heard who stuck in Europe because of all the canceled flights, some of them are not even trying to return to Russia. They don't want to.
So we've been talking a lot in this podcast about Yuval Noah Harari, and he wrote the book Sapiens, which I'm sure a lot of you have heard of in the past. Maybe you've even read it. And he's been publishing some interesting things about the war, even before I think it really started, before the first attack on Kiev. And so there was a quote from a recent article that we saw that we really liked, and we thought that it would be a nice way to end this episode. So Ksenia, do you want to do the honors?
Yeah, sure. Just before the quote, I really wanted to say that all people here in Ukraine like feel grateful for the West to help right now. Of course, many complain that it's not enough, but still, you know, it is like you can't feel the support. And like every one of us like wake up and feel so proud of our Ukrainian army who supports and defends us. That it's like we had this quote before about silver lining. So I guess this is the silver lining for Ukrainian people to feel this unity now and this, you know, being proud of their country. So yeah, and this is another quote from Yuval Noah Harari. The stories of Ukrainian bravery give resolve not only to the Ukrainians, but to the whole world. They give courage to the governments of European nations, to the U.S. administration, and even to the oppressed citizens of Russia. If Ukrainians dare to stop a tank with their bare hands, the German government can dare to supply them with some anti-tank missiles. The U.S. government can dare to cut Russia off swift, and Russian citizens can dare to demonstrate their opposition to this senseless war.
Amazing. So do what you can, you know, be that just getting more informed, speaking to someone in Ukraine, speaking to someone in Russia, reading different sources of media, hearing different perspectives, listening to different great minds, whatever it is you can do to, you know, to grow as a person and to help out people who need it. So that said, thanks so much for joining us in the Real Life English podcast. Hope you enjoyed this special episode, and we hope to see you next week. 1, 2, 3.
Aww, yeah.
Hey again, I hope you enjoyed today's lesson. Don't be a stranger. You can find all the notes like vocabulary, links, and more for this lesson on our blog at reallifeglobal.com. And connect with us and on Instagram at reallife.english for even more fun English recommendations. Do you want to continue your learning and get confident, fluent English? Then I have a couple great recommendations for you. First of all, check out our YouTube channel, Learn English with TV Series, where you can have fun learning to understand fast-speaking natives with your favorite movies, series, and more without getting lost, without missing the jokes, and without subtitles. Second, if you like our podcast, then our real-life native immersion course is perfect for you. It is the next best thing to studying abroad in an English-speaking country. Try it for free with our three-part power learning series. Just go to reallifeglobal.com/pod to sign up. Finally, if you are enjoying our podcast, then please assist us in helping more people go beyond the classroom and live their English. You can do this by sending a link to this podcast to a friend or by leaving us a 5-star review wherever you are listening. We might even shout you out on the podcast. Stay healthy and safe, and I look forward to seeing you next week. Aw, yeah.